Thank you very much. To tell you the truth, there is something strange in coming for a conference about Arab Jews in Cambridge. We, my generation, were born in Israel, descendants to parents who were born in the Middle East before the end of the colonial era, under the colonial powers, in the case of Iraq, England, France, and Italy, in other cases. We come to England to speak about our Arab-Jewish past, its present, and perhaps the possibility of its future. We come to speak in English about the Arab Jew who was split between Hebrew and Arabic. And England is not just a neutral place in the history of the Arab Jew in the 20th century. In the context of the Arab Jewish community of Iraq, it was a place to oppose to as a colonial power, but also a place to look up to aspire to, even to imagine yourself as its descendant in a dream. For example, in one of the poems of Amira Hess, the Iraqi-born Jerusalemite poet, as she writes, "I am the daughter of Baghdad. I'm ready to swear I was born in London." Our photo albums are filled with photographs of our grandparents in British suits, some also with British names. The colonial phase in the history of the Jews of Iraq is the main phase of the modern Arab Jew, the secular and national, after the years of the Ottoman rule. But colonialism brought the disconnecting between the Arab Jews from the Arab world. Because of the need of colonialism, which was inherited both by the Jewish and Arab nationalism movements, to purify categories, to know in which side are the Arab Jews, Arab or Jew. Because of the usage of colonial powers, as they use the Arab Jews as mediating minority between the colonial government and the majority, that gave Arab Jews who learned the colonial languages a privileges of economic options at the time, but later on disintegrated them from the majority of the countries they lived in. And of course, the sharp cutoff of Arab Jews from their countries that was due to the establishment of the State of Israel, the Israel-Arab Wars that led most of Arab countries to encourage Jews to leave. So it is maybe ironic and weird that we, the descendants of the colonies, now meet in Cambridge. But regrettably, these days, this kind of a conference will be received as weird and irrelevant in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Cairo, or Baghdad. There too, in Israel and the Arab world, we went out of history and appeared in the last 60 years as Arab Jews mainly as a curse. From time to time, of course, someone rediscovers us in Israel, Egypt, and other places, but always as a first-time discovery, without sequence or depth. So we are not really returned into history, but reminded of the degree of foreignness between us and the modern history. You can say that as a Jewish Arab collective, we have three unsettled accounts in the 20th century, with those movements and powers who were larger than us, and that made us and our history be in large ways forgotten, that made us almost improbable, impossible, which are the colonial powers, the Arab national movement in history, and Zionism in Israel. Yuval Ivry, who spoke before me about Shimon Balas and his book The Outcast, in which the protagonist finds a solution to his Arab-Jewish identity, which would allow him to stay in Iraq as a whole person without feeling cut into half. He converses into Islam and thinks this will turn him into a whole true Arab. An Arab that is Arabness is not questioned. This solution, of course, as Yuval showed, raises question marks about the corresponding solution in Israel, in which the Arab Jew was supposed to relinquish his Arabness. In Hebrew, we call it ishtaknezut, becoming Ashkenazi. Shimon Balas, like Professor Sasson Somech, who we heard yesterday, chose to remain an Arab Jew in Israel, chose not to solve his identity, what brought on them much anger in Israel. In many ways, Somech and Balas enabled the existence of the idea of the modern secular Arab Jew in Israel, in Hebrew, and brought it to the new Israeli culture with the options it opens, and made it possibility one can deal with to people of my age, maybe of our generation. However, we should note that the historical time frameworks we choose dictate much of our perspectives, and I say it also in the context of the time framework of this conference, which is Israeli time, from the establishment of the State of Israel to the present. If we want to think about the continuity of Arab Jewish history and not just its end as a result of a violent history, we have to think also about the preceding Arab Jew, that of course continued to exist in parallel with the new secular Arab Jew, the one that is not secular but religious or traditional, in order to understand that there is not only one model of an Arab Jew, that of intellectual elite that joined the majority in the fields of culture and literature in literary Arabic, Fusha, but also the religious Arab Jew, even if in this context this definition was rarely used because it's a modern one, with its deep symbiosis, not a Jewish particularity in the general Arab culture, but a Jewish Arabness and an Arab Jewishness. As we could hear, for example, yesterday in the music Yair Dalal played, the Shabbahot, in Hebrew and Aramaic, in the Arab Makam. It is seemingly strange that people of our generation talk about the Arab Jews and the Arab Jewish identity. We already grew up in homes where the Hebrew prevailed, in which Arabic was defeated, and has become an internal language, a language spoken between the generation of our grandparents and our parents, a language that was not passed on to us, beyond words of affection and curse. We were supposed to be the generation that will forget Arabic, our Arab past, the historical Arab-Jewish option. So what brings us, ultimately, to this place, to the thought about this identity? It can be found exactly in those missing parts within the Israeli culture, with its many attempts of deletion, also of Yiddish, of Jewish diaspora identity, Galutiyut, of East European Jewish heritage and identity, with its fear of religion and of the Haredim, and of course its fear of the Palestinians. And this is part of it being attractive again and interesting again today after generations of deletion. The immigration became a zero point that hided a different language and past, that were made ridiculed in Israel, but suddenly seem special today from a distance, when the Israeli society itself and Israeli culture feel the missing parts, be it the religious part, the Arab part, the Yiddish part, in a day-to-day harsh and violent Israel. through the cracks, we could, of course, see the Arabic and Arabness everywhere. At home, first of all, but of course also on the street, on television, synagogues, music and food, maybe less in literature that we learned at school. In my home, it was my mother's talks to the grandparents, to the uncles, basic Iraqi words like ashlonek, the food. In the end of one poem called A Jerusalem Yard, which I've written soon after I moved to Jerusalem, and was a kind of a first Mizrahi poem for me, a release poem, which was written after sitting in the yard of the Music from the East school in Musrara, Jerusalem, listening to the singing in Arabic and Ladino, and to the play of Oud. I wrote about my grandmother, who before she died went back to speaking only Arabic, not a word of Hebrew, in the last half year of her life. About my grandfather, Ezra Gahtan, who in his standing and figure was a memory of another world, another generation, that was much more noble and gentle, so I felt, than ours. In a poem that opened my first book called Two Grandparents, I wrote about him, Ezra Gahtan, 1904-1986. At my childhood, the palms of my grandfather holding behind his back, and at the picture with my mother, now at her sleeping room, his life's suit clothes his body, refugee's longing. 82 years took the travel of his life from the palms of the shores of the Tigris to the old water fountain, now destroyed at the end of the walk leading to Natania's seashore. A memory is a fraction in the present's flesh, and in the picture his daughter smiled, her hand on his shoulder, and he is keeping serious. Behind them the old water fountain, and the horizon is the tub of the Mediterranean Sea that does not pay any respect to rivers. At the background, few palms that the city municipality planted, and in his flesh he planted the seeds of a white mustache and a black tie, signing him a different world. And in a minute he will open his mouth and say abroad, meaning Israel. In the same poem, I wrote about being afraid to lose all the colors of the other languages. I tried to describe this period in my life in which, for years, I recollect all the other cities I did not remember as a child. Baghdad name, which came up again and again in the family living room, was something mysterious for me, unknown. Not understood how, from the distance of one generation, the city from where your mother and grandparents came from is now blocked to you both physically and mentally, and you are not able to come in its gates. In this point, I want to say something about the moment of the death of Samir Nakash, that Professor Sasson Somech spoke about yesterday extensively. The death of Nakash filled me with a tremendous fear, as the death of my grandparents. Fear from the possibility that an entire world disappeared without a replacement. A past world that was not past. That you haven't learned from enough before his death. At the moment of Samir Nakash's death, I wanted to be an Arab writer, to write in Arabic, and I did not start yet learning Arabic. After an entire life, I asked to be an Hebrew writer. Suddenly, I asked to be an Arab writer. This is not contradictory to the first request, I feel. But suddenly, the writing in Arabic seemed missing. And I realized that without the Arabic, I will always repeat writing the same story. The story of the moment of crisis, the moment of arrival to Israel, the story of Mizrahi-Ashkenazi conflict, the lack of Arabic in Hebrew and in Israel. And I felt that only the Arabic can extract me from being stuck in one place. I wanted that Naqash will not be the last Arab-Jewish writer. I dedicated to his memory a story I wrote, writing to Samir Naqash, one of the great Jewish Baghdadi writers in all generations, that continued writing in Arabic in this country when most of us drifted away from it and from our special dialect. The sad, untimely death of one of the world's last writers in Baghdadi Jewish Arabic came to me a little after the end of writing this story, and it inspires fear and opens no hope. After Naqash death and Yitzhak Bar Moshe death, we have no hope but to study anew our language. We that are a second and third generation to its silence, so that one day soon we can read in Samir Naqash books and many others without the need for translation, and possibly, may I hope, one of us will return to write in our language. Afterwards, through the translation of one of my stories, Ana min al-Yahud, I am from the Jews, into Arabic in Cairo, about 3 years ago, I felt my desire to be an Arab writer was fulfilled, if only for one issue of Al-Hilal magazine. I felt that, in a sense, the translation into Arabic was not just a translation, but in a deep sense, it was returning the text into its origin, to the place where the story was written from. The story, Ana min al-Yahud, began from a poem named My Arabic is Mute that I wrote 5 years ago, and maybe before ending, I will read the poem and say a few words about it. I guess most of you know or Hebrew or Arabic, so I'll read it in Hebrew and Arabic, and the English is printed downstairs. הערבית שלי אילמת. הערבית שלי אילמת, חנוקה מן הגרון, מקללת את עצמה בלי להוציא מילה, ישנה באוויר המחניק של מקלטי נפשי, מסתתרת מבני המשפחה מאחורי תריסי העברית. והעברית שלי גועשת, מתרוצצת בין החדרים ומרפסות השכנים, משמיעה קולה ברבים, מנבט בועם של אלוהים ודחפורים, ואז מתכנסת בסלון, חושבת את עצמה, גלויות גלויות על שפת אורה, כסויות כסויות בין דפי בשרה, רגע עירומה ורגע לבושה, היא מצטמצמת בקורסה, מבקשת את סליחת ליבה. הערבית שלי פוחדת, מתחזה בשקט לעברית ולוחשת לחברים עם כל דפיקה בשעריה, אהלן אהלן, ומול כל שוטר עובר ברחוב, שולפת תעודת זהות, מצביעה על הסעיף המגונן, אנא מן אל-יהוד, אנא מן אל-יהוד. והעברית שלי חרשת, לפעמים חרשת מאוד. ערבייתי חרסאו, ערבייתי חרסאו, רסא, תסובו נפסה, דונאן תתפאוה בקלימה, תנאמו, פי הוואי מלאג'י נפסי לחנק, תכתביו, מן הבני אל-עיילה, חלף הסיטר אל-עבריה. ועבריתי תהתאג'ו, תתרקדו בין אל-גורפי ושורפי אל-ג'ירן, תוסמיעו סאוטיה לל-ג'ומועי, תתנבאו בקודום אללה ובולדוזרת, ועינדה תנזאוי פי סלון. تفكر في نفسها ظاهرة ظاهرة على حاف جسادها مغطاة مغطاة بين أوراق لحمها لحظة عرية واللحظة مكسوة تنكمش في الكنبة تطلب معذرة قلبها عربية خائفة تتناكر بسمت للعبرية وتهمس لأصدقائي مع كل طرقة على أبوابها أهلا أهلا، وأمام كل شرطي يمر في الطريق تبرز هوية تشير إلى البندي المدافع. أنا من اليهود، أنا من اليهود. وعبريتي سماء، أحيانا سماء للغاية. This poem speaks of the Arabic that is mute, but it starts, I think I understood it afterwards, and after the translation that was done by Rima Abu Jaber, a Palestinian poet from Nazareth. It starts with my Arabic. And afterwards I say that it is mute, but first of all, and for the first time, I could say that is my Arabic, openly, saying it to myself and to others. It is mine, it belongs to me, to my memory, or I belong to the Arabic. I think to end in something optimistic, because I'm not sure I was optimistic in the rest of what I said, that as I understand it, and for me in that sense this conference is interesting, in order to, for Mizrahi and Arab Jewish culture in Israel continue to flourish in one sense or another, two miracles that happened to us, one that was in the previous panel, that is the synagogues and the music and poetry of the synagogues that keep a lot from our Arab heritage, much more than secular spheres. And the other, which I'm sure that will also take place in this conference, is the Palestinian, the Palestinians in Israel and the Palestinian culture in Israel. And although they too remind us that we didn't go so far. One generation and much was erased, but from a different perspective, we can understand that we didn't fly so far away. I was born in the middle between Baghdad and Cairo, and they are potential in present Israeli society for the continuation of Arab Jewish culture in another sense, probably not in the same sense as it was, but in another sense. And to add to this, I think that the kind of dialogue sometimes in Israel, and I feel it when things of mine are read in Hebrew in Israel, in each sphere we have a blind spot and places you feel that people are not able to hear what you say. I mean that many times in talking about Mizrahi identity in Israel, we focus on our history and clash with Zionism, with the state of Israel. And that's one part of our history, but most of the time it comes with accepting the definitions, really, of Zionism, of talking about Mizrahi identity and not Jewish Arab, of talking of what happened economically and culturally in Israel and not of our long connections to the Arab history and Arab culture. And in that sense, opening a real fruitful dialogue, maybe through places like this one, again, with the Arab culture of the present day, and with Arab history, which will allow Mizrahi identity in Israel not to be something very closed in the narrow borders and closed in, sometimes in that context we talk about post-colonialism and things that are very much relevant, but I think the main difference is that in Israel, Mizrahim are not a minority in a Western country, but a kind of majority of people who came or are still speaking Arabic in Israel, which is a very much different situation. And in that sense, in going back, not just of talking theoretically about post-colonialism, but about relearning Arab culture and Arab history, to have a present dialogue in that sense, I think is one of the main hopes of continuing a fruitful culture that remembers its past and has a possibility for future. Thank you very much.
Okay, those are the best.